All this is much easier for us to understand nowadays in terms of high energy physics, I'm told. Many times when I talk to my friend, the physicists, they tell me, well, I say, you know, how is it that people, says the Lord Jesus, could pass through a physical wall? The disciples were closed in a room and the doors were shut tight, and Jesus comes in through the walls, and there he is standing among them. Many people found this very difficult to understand. My friend, the physicist, told me that's very easy to understand. It's just a question of frequency. We could change the person's frequency and he can pass through a wall. You see, material things, for a nuclear physicist knows, is in fact all empty space. It isn't the solid thing that we see, we are told it's all empty space. And if you could change the frequency of one material thing, you could pass it right through the other. And so it is a matter of difference of frequency. Well, that helps us to understand spiritual things a lot. It shows that our friend the physicist seems to have some advantage over us here. Now, this being so, we find that it is much easier for us to understand how the spiritual and the physical can be coextensive. It is just a different mode of existence. It doesn't have to be located in a different place. And that mode of existence can be so utterly and unimaginably different. Imagine if a physicist had some means of changing your frequency and you could suddenly be passing through walls, appearing and disappearing. Wow, that is a new type of existence, can be sure, even if it's just a change of frequency. Now just think about that. And you change the frequency a bit more and you enter into spiritual existence. And then you really begin to understand that you have a wonderful and amazing type of existence without having to travel to some remote place in some spiritual rocket ship or something of this kind. And so we see the wonder of Jesus' teaching, that somehow it takes us 20th century physics even to begin to understand the amazing depth and reality of Jesus' teaching. 我们这样看到，更清楚地知道，既然天不是一个物质的东西，在圣经的教训里面，乃是个属灵的，一种生活，一种属灵的存在。我们不需要讲的这个地方多远多近，我们发现，就好比一个人的灵跟一个人的身体，在同一个地方里面。 不需要在另外一个地方里面，我们就知道天与这个宇宙不需要以为天在宇宙之外，而在宇宙这个同一个范围里面有灵有物质，灵的就是天，物质的就是我们所看到的宇宙。这个让我们知道一些什么事情，就让我们知道上帝不是很远的。进入天的一个生活，不需要做一个属灵的火箭。 远远地飞到一个什么宇宙之外，天就是一个新的生活，这个新的生活是奇妙的，是伟大的，这种一种生活，但是不是一个距离的问题，是一个生活方式、生活性质的不同的问题。这样我们看到物理学家已经帮助我们来了解这些问题。 我有一次跟一个朋友讲，怎么了解？好像主耶稣带着个属灵的身体，能够走进那些个走到门徒的当中来呢？那些个门都锁着了，但是耶稣能够走进来，走出去，出现不出现？我就觉得很多人觉得这方面很困难，哎，怎么不知道怎么样来了解？那我这个物理学家朋友跟我讲，这个很容易。 这个容易了解，做是做不到，因为我没有这个能力。但是了解来，原则上来了解是并不难的。只要把这个人的这个 frequency 是什么东西，我也不知道怎么翻译，能不能够是什么速度或者什么东西来改变一下，一个人就能够走过一个墙。因为这个墙呢，我们从原子学上、这个物理上知道，墙都是。 并不是实质的，都是空的，啊，在我们在物理学方面来说是空的，啊，所以呢，要改变一个人的这个 frequency 或者讲速度啊，暂时来讲，你就可以走过这个墙。这样我们帮助我们明白，我们换到一个属灵的生活方式里面去的时候，就是所谓进到天堂的这种话语，我们就马上就知道。 我们进到这个新的方式，就进到一个非常奇妙的生活里面去。但是这一切对我们的帮助，我们要解脱这些属物质的思想，因为这种妨碍我们祷告，妨碍我们的崇拜。From all these things, then we come to realize that God is very close. When it says that God is in heaven, He is not far away. God is very close, as the spirit is to the body. He is closer than our own breath. That's what Paul is saying in Acts chapter 17. In Him, we live and move and have our being. Now, we have to ask one more thing once we come to realize these things. Is heaven attractive to us? When you study the Bible, you find another strange thing. You find that there is never a description of heaven in physical terms. We are never told that, say, heaven is rather like the South Pacific, where there are palm trees waving in the wind, and there's a soft beaches, there's beautiful sand that you can lay in the sun. Funny. Nowhere we are told anything like this. No description of heaven in these picture terms occurs for us. Sometimes in Revelation we are told of the beings in heaven, the kind of persons who are there, but we are never told what heaven looks like, what there is in heaven, what's the furniture, what's the landscape. That again shows you the vast difference of the Bible in its spiritual depth from human thinking. If you turn to the Quran, to Islam, you'll find that heaven is often pictured in terms of an earthly paradise, where there are exactly the things that I mentioned, palm trees and softly flowing brooks and beautiful girls and things of this kind. That's heaven. And you have great big dates that you can chew on, and you have all the food you want to eat. Well, I'm not so sure that I find that kind of heaven very attractive. I might find the South Pacific more attractive than that. And if heaven is all there is, that is heaven. I might as well go and buy myself a house in South Pacific and work for a few years, work hard and buy myself a house, because heaven seems to be no different from the South Pacific or from wherever it is, you have a nice place you can think of. The Bible never goes into that kind of error that Islam and others fall into. There is no description of heaven in those terms whatsoever. Precisely why? Precisely because the Bible never makes the mistake of describing heaven as a material place. Therefore, you never have a picture of the landscape of heaven. Nowhere in the Bible can you find this whatsoever. Isn't that remarkable? Has it never crossed your mind? If I'm going to go to heaven, you better tell me what heaven is like. I'd like to know what's up there, what kind of a nice place it is. But in vain do you search the Bible for anything like it. Why? Why is that so? Well, first of all, because we have seen already that heaven is spiritual, and once it's spiritual, you cannot describe it in terms of palm trees and flowing waters and pretty girls and the like. But secondly, heaven is nothing without God. For me, heaven would be utterly uninteresting if God is not there. The whole attraction about heaven is God. He is the whole wonder, the center of heaven. In fact, in the Bible sometimes heaven is simply a metonym, another name for God. God is simply called, for example, in the parable of the prodigal son. What does the prodigal son say in Luke chapter 15? He said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven." Well, how can you sin against heaven? He means, of course, I have sinned against God. God is the whole center and meaning of heaven. He is the whole attraction of heaven. If you don't care for God, you won't care for heaven. You're not going to like heaven very much. In spite of all the wonderful attractions that when you have the new body, you can pass through walls, you can eat or don't eat as you choose. That may be very interesting existence. But then God is the center of attraction. And so we find that unless you love God, you won't care for heaven. And why is this thing making such a lot of noise? Let's see if I can reduce this ringing noise. Can you hear me still at the back? Okay. It's beginning to disturb my ears. I don't know whether it disturbs your ears. So the attraction of heaven is simply in the person of God. And the more attractive God becomes, the more attractive heaven becomes. This is something we find again in the scriptural teaching. Take for example this. If I tell you that Norway is a beautiful place with wonderful fjords, changing scenery, oh, it's marvelous. You might get a bit interested in Norway, but you think it's so far away. It's not yet worth 4,500 years of travel to Norway, but it's so far away, I'm not sure it's worth the effort of getting there. But wait till one day somebody you really love moves to Norway. Wow, Norway becomes interesting now. You want to get to Norway. At all costs, you have to get to Norway. Now suddenly Norway is interesting. You see, that's the thing with heaven. You may tell me that heaven is very nice, very beautiful, and it means nothing to me. I'm not sure it's worth the effort to get there. But suddenly there's somebody you love, like Jesus, and he's in heaven. Now it gets interesting. Now I want to get there. And this is the reason you will find that nowhere in the New Testament, or in the Old for that matter, do you once hear the statement that when you die, you go to heaven. Did you realize that? I ask you to quote me one verse in the whole Bible which says when you die, you go to heaven. I give you 2 weeks or 3 weeks to search out the scriptures. Use your concordance, look through every reference, and you show me one reference somewhere in the Bible where it says that I'm looking forward to go to heaven when I die. Or anything that even remotely resembles that. You bring me one verse, I'd like to look at it. Because you know why? The attraction is never the place or the type of existence. It is always the person. That is why Paul, for example, says that for me to be with Christ is far better. Philippians chapter 1, I think it's verse 23, he says, for me to depart and to be with Christ is far better. Why didn't he say for me to go to heaven is far better? No, he says nothing of the kind. He says to be with Christ is far better. Again, in 2 Corinthians 5, he says that I may be away from the body and at home with the Lord. He doesn't say a word about heaven. Remarkable, isn't it? You see, that is why, again, understand this whole scriptural teaching. So that you know also where you are going. If you are thinking about it as a place. Now, finally, let us also ask the question, how then do I inherit heaven? Inherit heaven? Can you show me a verse which says something about inherit heaven? Inherit eternal life, yes. Notice that eternal life and heaven are again the same thing. It is the new type of existence, a new way of life. Eternal life is what we inherit. We inherit not heaven, but the kingdom of God, which again is eternal life. Now, how am I going to inherit eternal life? That is also the question we need to ask.
你从圣经里面什么地方看来，什么地方看来看去，怎么也找不到圣经里面跟你讲天是怎么一个样子，是不是有很多的花在那边呢，有山有水，有什么东西在那儿呢？没有一个地方跟我们讲天是什么一个样子。那你想我如果要到天上去，你起码跟我讲一下天的样子是怎么样了。 好让我在幻想里面能够想一想天是多么好看，多么漂亮，可以有一个盼望。当我到那儿去的时候，我可以来欣赏这些美好的东西。圣经里面没有一次跟我们讲奇怪不奇怪。但是当你知道我们刚才所讲的，就觉得一点都不奇怪，因为天是属灵的一个东西，是灵。 就不能讲有没有花，有没有山这些物质的东西，当然就不能谈到这些个。那么另外一点，我们发现天美好的地方不是在于它有没有山，有没有水这个问题，而是因为有神在那里。那如果你不爱神，你就不会喜欢天了。
你爱神就爱天，不爱神就不爱天，就非常简单。所以这些个真理我们要看得清清楚楚。Now we find that we must ask the question, how do we inherit heaven? Now first, the scripture tells us that we cannot both have this world and the next, the other one, the spiritual world. We cannot have both mammon and God. We have to decide between one or the other. That's a hard choice, isn't it? The English saying is that a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. And if heaven is so far away, we better settle for this one. Which one are you going to decide for? That's a tough choice. You're not going to have this life and the life to come, both. You're not going to have your cake and eat it, in other words, spiritually speaking. We are faced with a difficult and important choice. Now, if you are like Demas, that we saw, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, that he loved the world. Although he was a Christian, he loved the world and he left God. You can make that choice. But you cannot both love the world and have God. You will find that it doesn't work like this. You've got to make your choice. But why then do we make the choice for heaven? For that spiritual life? Because if you are wise, you realize that this life is passing away. You realize that this life is temporal. You will realize the list we were talking about in 1 Corinthians 15. When you've looked through that list, if you have any wisdom, you will know which side you're going to choose. The world is passing away. Why cannot we choose one or the other? Why can't we have both? Because what you love, your heart will be there. Your whole way of life will be governed by what you love. And the way of life must commence now. Heaven is going to be start now. It's something you have to inherit now. Eternal life is something that we get now, not just when we die. That's the scriptural teaching. And either you have eternal life now, or you're not going to have it. Either you're going to be children of heaven now, which is what 1 Corinthians 15 said. We are of heaven. Not we shall be of heaven, notice those words. But we who are of heaven, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 48. You're either of heaven now, or you're never going to get to heaven. You've got to make your choice right now. That's something you have to decide. But that decision should not be so difficult when we realize that this earth, this world is passing away. And I tell you something, when you begin to get a bit sick like I do, you suddenly realize how transitory life is. You realize it with a force you've never seen before. You suddenly realize that this physical life is passing away very, very quickly. And once or twice when this trouble has attacked me very severely, I suddenly come to realize that I was only one breath away from death. One more breath is the difference between life and death. You don't get that breath and you are gone. That's as close as death that we are in this life. Life is passing away. And if you cling to this life, as so many do, if you see the importance of this life but exaggerate its importance, then you're going to live for this world and not for heaven. You are not going to be a son of heaven. And secondly, we saw in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said also in verse 50, he said this, understand these things. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, but you say, we are flesh and blood. How can we inherit the kingdom of heaven then? There's only one way, by being born again. And that's what the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 6. Whatsoever is born of the flesh is flesh. We are born of the flesh, so we are flesh. But he goes on to say, whatsoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's how we can be called sons of heaven right now, because we are born of the Spirit. Therefore, we are spirit as well. The flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven. It cannot inherit that way of life. But spirit can. And since I am born of the Spirit, I am spirit. Because I am spirit, I can inherit the kingdom of God. That kind of understanding, this logic is perfectly clear and easy to understand. 我们怎么样能够承受到天呢？应该怎么样才可以承受？圣经里面跟我们讲，第一步，我们必须要先决定，我们为这个世界而活呢，还是为天而活，为这个永生而活？但是这两个当中，你必选其一，不能两个并有。所以呢，我们必须要看清楚主耶稣的教训，就跟我们这样讲：你除非在天上存上你所有的至宝，你的宝贝，或者你地上存着，但是两个地方不能同时都存。你不能这里存一点，那里存一点，这是我们希望做的。圣经里面跟我讲，这是不行的。主耶稣也跟我们讲，你不能侍奉上帝，也同时侍奉马门。那我们就很愿意这样做，我这个50%来侍奉马门，50%侍奉上帝，这样呢，我一脚在天堂里面，一脚在地上，打得非常稳，两面的好处都可以得到。主耶稣说，没有这个可能性，不能做的。你除非侍奉上帝，除非侍奉马门，你自己两个当中随便你选择其一，但是不要自己欺骗自己。你不要想一个手抓着这边，一个手抓着那边，两边都可以得到好处。你可以骗自己，骗不到上帝。你要得到天或者得到今世的生活，你自己要选择。那你说为什么必须要这样做呢？何必两个并有不能办得到呢？因为现在我们就要成为一个新的人。如果我们爱世界的时候三心两意，没有办法成为一个真正的基督徒，没有办法成为一个真正的基督徒，就不能得到永生。一个三心两意的基督徒没有永生，圣经里面说的，不是我说的。所以你要做一个真正的基督徒才有永生，这样你就为上帝而活。那这个是不是意思就是说，我们不用工作了，世界上的东西都不要了，房子也不要住了，车子也不要坐了？不是这个意思。我们所讲的是生活的目的，我们所讲的是目的。我们是为什么而活？是为今生而活，还是为上帝而活？这两个东西，这个目的要搞清楚。目的搞清楚之后，我们整个态度就不同了，就是这样。那么另外一点就是说，在哥林多前书15:50里面跟我们讲，血肉不能承受到天国。那你说不得了，那我是血肉，那我怎么办呢？怎么能够承受到天国呢？这里就是重生的教训的意思就在此。重生就是说，属肉体的，我们从肉体而生的就是肉体，从灵而生的就是灵。约翰福音3:6，我们是不是肉体，是不是血肉呢？我们是的，但是我们也成为灵。如果我们是重生的话，被圣灵重生，我们就也是灵。因为我是灵，我能够承受天，这是圣经清楚的教训。 Now one final point and we have to close. We are told in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earthas in heaven. We shall not, of course, study that now. But it tells us something about heaven, does it not? It tells us that God's will is done perfectly in heaven. And the prayer is that your will be done on earth as in heaven. Heaven is a place then of perfect bliss, of perfect happiness, perfect joy. For what reason? For this reason, that God's will is done perfectly in heaven.Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If God's will is being perfectly done in our lives, you are going to experience heaven here and now. If God's will is done perfectly in your life, there is nothing so miserable as to be a spiritual schizophrenic in which you are split apart inside, trying to live for God, trying to live for the world, trying on both sides to do something.That kind of existence is absolute misery. It's not worth it. Even if the Bible didn't tell you to choose between one or the other, you would be wise just to choose one or the other. Just choose the world and forget about the other side. Because you just live a dual, hypocritical, schizophrenic existence with no joy, no peace, no power, you haven't got the experience of heaven here and now. Why do I believe in heaven? Because I experience it now. I know what heaven is like when I live in total obedience to God. There you experience joy and peace and power. If a family lived 100% in total obedience to God, that family would be heaven on earth. When wife and husband do not quarrel with each other, when they don't put their conflicting characters against each other, when they cease to strive and to bicker and to bargain and to conflict with each other, I tell you, your family would be heaven on earth. When each person in that family is totally obedient to God. Now, we may not be able to achieve that in the family, let alone in society, which doesn't want to obey God anyways, want to go their own way. But we can achieve it in our own lives. I can resolve by the grace of God that God's way is going to be done in my life as in heaven. He's going to have his way totally and absolutely. And then you will experience the joy, a peace, and the power. Have you experienced heaven in your life? Sometimes you experience it very literally, sometimes less literally. I've shared with brothers and sisters in Liverpool how I literally experienced heaven on earth, about as literally as you can get. And one Sunday morning I got up and I knelt down before God in prayer and worshiped before him and prayed, opening my life as I was accustomed to do, yielding my life again totally day by day to him. Your will be done in my life as in heaven. And you know what I experienced? I experienced heaven that very day in such a literal fashion that, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, I wasn't too sure whether I was in the world or not in the world, whether I was in the body or not in the body. Paradise, that is it. Oh, what was an experience I will never forget. And the experience went on not for 5 minutes, not for 10 minutes, but for hours, hour after hour. It was so wonderful to be in that sweet fellowship with God, filled with inexpressible joy. Have you ever experienced anything like this? We are meant to be sons of heaven now, not at some future date only. If we don't experience spiritual reality now, how do you know you're ever going to experience it? Do you know why some Christians are so uncertain about heaven? Because they don't know whether it's real. And they don't know whether it's real because, well, they have never even had a foretaste of it. But the Bible tells us that we can have a foretaste of those things. In Hebrews it says, we have tasted the powers of the world to come. Have you tasted it? Now, to live in this way is our heritage here and now. Then we will be Christians of a kind that really radiate, because heaven becomes for us a present reality. Oh, I plead with you, brothers and sisters, don't live in sin, because sin brings misery and futility and waste and suffering. It achieves absolutely nothing. Why live in sin? I don't understand. It destroys you physically. It destroys you mentally. It destroys you spiritually. Why enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season? 5 minutes of enjoyable sin. It's so enjoyable. It's really enjoyable. And the damage is done to physically, mentally, spiritually. Everything is damaged. Why do that? And why not enter into the joy of heaven now? And then you have the certainty of heaven. People say, why do you have such confidence on the things you speak? Because I experience them. If I don't experience them, I won't talk about them with such confidence. I will be dealing with theories and philosophies and ideas. But I deal with the things, as Paul says, that I know. I speak about things that I know are true. As Paul said in Timothy, I know whom I have believed. I'm not speculating. I'm not imagining. I'm not philosophizing. I know whom I'm talking about. And so I say, brothers and sisters, we can experience heaven here if only we learn to live in what is the situation of heaven, in total obedience, in total commitment to him. That is the normal Christian life, which it should be. So may God grant to us that kind of experience. As I told you, I'll never forget that morning in London. Oh, what amazing experience of fellowship with God. And remember this, I don't look for the experience. I sought only to be totally yielded to my Lord. Don't start out just by looking for an experience. That is where so many Christians have gone wrong. They pursue the experience, not the right state of mind. The reason why the error of that, of pursuing experience, is this, that once you have the experience, then you can forget about the requirements again. You can go back to where you were before and say, yeah, I experienced it. It was very interesting. God is not going to be there just to give you experiences to play around with so they can boast to others about. Only if you are prepared consistently to live in this way, one day you're going to be, to use the words of C.S. Lewis, surprised by joy. Just as I was surprised. I got up and prayed as I did every morning with nothing exceptional about it. But that morning, God determined to bring to me an experience of heaven such as I had never had before. And so we find then, when we speak in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. Heaven, and this was the last point we had made, it should be something no longer strange or distant or foreign, but something that we know in our experience. The place of perfect fellowship with God because of total obedience to Him.
我们最后所看到的一点，就是天是一种生活，是我们今天所可以经验得到。我们不要以为天是遥远的一件东西，更不要以为是一种物质的东西。天是我们现在可以开始经验得到，这是圣经的教训，希伯来书。我们在来世的能力，我们今世已经开始经验得到。所以我们当我们讲到天的时候，我们现在就可以经验。圣经里面跟我们讲， 就是在主导文里面说，你的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上一样。这不是跟我们讲得很明白吗？天，这是什么一种情形呢？天的那边就是上帝的旨意完完全全的实行出来。这样，马上让我们知道，如果我们现在已经开始愿意让上帝的旨意完全行出来的话，在我们的生命里面行出来的话，实行出来， 我们现在就可以经验得到天是怎么一种生活。我也刚分享到，我在伦敦的时候，有一天早上起来祷告，在主的面前跪下，我每天就把自己的生活再一次在主的面前打开，再一次求主完完全全的在我的生命里面做王做主。 奇妙，突然之间我就惊艳到天。上帝给我这个经验，不是5分钟、10分钟的经验，是好几个钟头。我在这甜蜜的交通里面生活，出我的意料之外，我也没有要求这个，也没有知道有这种经验可以得到，就在天堂里面，也不知道我在身体里面还在身体外面，就像保罗在哥林多后书第12章里面讲的。 就进入天堂的生活里面去，好几个钟头的喜乐是不能形容的。所以当我讲到天的时候，我不是讲个理论，不是讲个哲学，乃是我所自己能够经验到的，已经经验到的一件事情，将来更在主的恩典下能够经验到。所以我希望弟兄姐妹知道这个秘诀，天。 当我们说天上的父，我们所讲到的是一个天，是我们所知道的天。我们将来更进一步的能够知道天的奇妙、天的美丽，跟主里面的交通的甜蜜是怎么样。只要我们愿意让上帝的旨意行在我们的生命里面，如同行在天上一样，我们就开始进入这种奇妙的生活来。 我希望每一个基督徒能够经验到上帝的能力，这样就带来了喜乐，带来了能力。我们为什么没有喜乐，没有能力？就是不愿意让上帝的旨意在我们的生命里面实行出来。我们只是违背上帝，还自称为基督徒，天天照自己的生活、自己的意思来生活，不顺服主。 所以没有喜乐，没有能力，这种基督徒教会已经都是满了。希望我们这里每一个弟兄姐妹不要做这种基督徒。只要请你们想一想，如果一个家庭里面每一个人都是让上帝的旨意行在他们的生命里面，如同在天上一样，我跟你讲，这个家庭就好像天堂一样，多么美丽。夫妻之间不要整天吵嘴，你要你的方式，我要我的方式，你要这个，他要那个，抢来抢去，吵来吵去，这种生命呢就像地狱一样，不值得活的。怎么样有地狱呢？就是你不要去实行上帝的旨意嘛，那就有地狱了。但是如果你愿意每一个人夫妻之间，子女大家都是顺服上帝的时候，这个家庭真是天堂。但是如果我们不能控制家庭的生活的话，我们起码可以控制自己的生活，愿上帝的旨意行在我的生命里面，好让我呢能够现在进入上帝的喜乐里面去，这样我的生命就能够发出一个光辉来，好让很多人说，哎，你怎么有这种能力，这种喜乐，这不是出于我，乃是出于上帝，他的恩典是我们现在所能经验到。愿主向我们每一个人说话。 And we know that God has prepared wonderful things in terms of a spiritual future for us. I often think of those words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, where Paul says, Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things, nor has the mind been able to imagine the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we think we have experienced wonderful things now, then Paul is saying, you haven't even started yet by any measure of means. There's still a long way to go. God has prepared things that eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor even has it entered into the mind of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And so we can see the joy, the prospect that is ahead. The Christian is a man who has a wonderful prospect. He has a future which no man in the world has who doesn't know God. What a future we have. 所以保罗在哥林多前书第二章第九节里面说，人的眼睛没有看见，耳朵还没有听到过的，人的思想想象都没有能够想到的，这些个东西上帝为爱他的人所预备了。就是说什么意思呢？保罗可以说，我属灵的经验非常丰富，非常奇妙，你的经验可能也不错，也是丰富，也是奇妙，但是你现在所经验的一些东西，你已经觉得奇妙吗？那么我跟你讲，你眼睛还没有看见的，耳朵还没有听见的，脑筋还没有思想过的，那些个奇妙上帝为你所预备啊。做个基督徒真是有盼望，真是有前途，怎么没有不能？怎么可以避免？可以说啊，怎么能够避免有一个快乐的一种心情呢？上帝给我们这样美好的前途，美好的盼望，上帝是何等的宝贵。And so we thank God for His word and for His goodness to us. Now let us be quiet before God in prayer.